our confessions. In our minds, be king of our thoughts. In our lives, be prophetic word and action. Thank you for your goodness and kindness in our lives. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your kingdom that is unlike any kingdom in this world. We come to you today aware of so many needs. Especially during this holiday season, we ask for your presence and peace in the lives of those who are sick, alone, or grieving. And as we worship together, we join our voices together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It is our hope and prayer that as students transition out of high school, away from their homes and their local churches, that they might find a community of faith, a community where they can grow in their relationship with Christ, where they can feel safe and accepted, and where their faith can be affirmed as they learn and they question and they experience what college is all about. And so this morning we have a quick video we'd like to share with you that highlights three of the students that participate in Gator Wesley and how their faith has been affirmed through the work of the Holy Spirit within the ministry of the Gator Wesley Foundation.
So here at Gator Wesley, I've really grown my relationship with God personally. Hearing the sermons on Sunday, leading small groups on Wednesday, and just everything in between has really strengthened my relationship with other Christian followers as well as with God himself. And Gator Wesley has actually given me the opportunity to serve as a youth director at First UMC. So I feel more confident in my faith and what I believe in as I'm sharing that faith with other people.
So I was actually leading a book Bible study with one of my friends. And the particular book that we were reading was full of a lot of really challenging ideas and thoughts that I'd never really had. And even though I was leading it with her, she really poured into me and gave me a space where I could be having these questions and not be judged and just trying to figure out life together and feeling affirmed even if we didn't think the same things.
So when I started coming to Gator Wesley, I realized that I felt a calling to full-time ministry. And I was reluctant to that at first, so I made a sort of deal with God that if the Astros won the World Series this year, then I would seriously consider ministry as a full-time occupation. And lo and behold, they did, in fact, win the World Series this year. And so a few days after, I found myself on a plane to Portland, Oregon for the Exploration Conference, which is geared towards helping me discern my calling.
Here at Gator Wesley, I get a really cool chance to lead small groups on Wednesdays. It's a great way to experience what other people have experienced and allow them to open up to me and for me to just expand my knowledge about other people's theology and how they view God, in a sense. It's very rewarding and it's a great time making friends.
Being able to come into a campus ministry where you have people your age that are exploring the same sorts of questions that you're exploring is really helpful in discerning what it is that you believe. And Gator Wesley has given me a place where I can explore questions that I'm having and I don't feel judgment. And I can explore doubt and I'm not met with questions about why I have doubts. And it's just been a place where I can be myself. And that has helped me grow in my faith with Jesus more than anything else.
Gator Wesley has helped to strengthen my faith by allowing me to be a part of a Christian community that is specifically geared towards me and my spiritual growth. Now, over the next few years, I hope to further discern my calling, further develop my spiritual gifts, and be a part of missions outreach.
Thank you. Death could not hold you. The veil torn before you. The silence, the boast of sin and grace. Heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have.
Isn't it good to have Gator Wesley with us today, the staff and the students? And I just want to say thank you to you all as a congregation. We are in the midst of preparing for our ministry and mission through our budget for 2018. And the budget for 2018 is $3.1 million. And as of the first week of you all making your pledge commitments to Trinity, we are at $1.3 million. That is more than we have ever had before after the very first week. And so we are grateful for that. We're grateful for you. We're about halfway toward the amount that we would like to have in and pledge commitments from you all. So we thank you, and we also want to give you an opportunity, if you've not yet had a chance to turn that in. As the offering plates come by this morning, we invite you to make those commitments through the pledge cards in the offering plate, as well as your regular tithes and offerings, and of course our Connect cards. And we always appreciate getting those from you. As we do that, let's bow our heads and pray together. Oh God, you are gracious to us, and we come this morning and we are grateful in response. We are grateful for the many blessings that you have poured out upon us, and especially in this season of the year, we are mindful of that. So accept, oh God, our thanks and praise as we give you the praise, because you are the one from whom all blessings flow. Oh God, as we receive these offerings this morning and make commitments toward 2018, we pray that you will be at work among us, reaching children and youth and students and adults as they come to this place, and also being a prophetic witness out in your community through both our words and our actions. Oh God, we pray that you would bless this offering this morning and use it as we witness to others about the beautiful, the wonderful, the powerful name of Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
See. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I know some of you guys may have been like me and were just thankful for the opportunity to get together with family and friends. Some of your prayers may have been thanking God for your family and thanking them for just a wonderful time. Or some of you guys may have been like parts of my weekend and you're like, dear Lord, my family. However that landed in your house. We also had some other events that happened this weekend with Thanksgiving. We had a game yesterday where the boys played hard. They played real hard. And that was an experience. But I did look out and just look at what a beautiful afternoon it was. It really was a beautiful day. I thought I'd introduce myself to start with. My name is Joel Pancoast. I am a pastor alongside my wife, Heather, who you met early doing the prayer at our campus ministry. And I call it our campus ministry because I truly believe that Gator Wesley is the campus ministry of our whole conference for the University of Florida in Santa Fe. And so we all take ownership over not only the students that we send there, but the time that we spend with these students as they develop into amazing young people. I am blessed to serve there with a great group of students. I'm also blessed to serve there with my wife, as I said before, and Brandon Bishop, who is our Operations and Worship Director, as well as Kate Englet, who does so much more than just our finances. And so we just feel like we are blessed to be able to work and serve where we do. Heather and I also have two beautiful daughters who are sitting down here on the front row and just slouched down in their chair because I pointed at them. But I am thankful to you as a church community for the life that you pour into them through your Wednesday after-school programming with Tears and Rejoice, through the way that you pour into them on Sunday mornings when we're able to worship here with you guys. And we're also thankful for the summer camps that y'all run that they're able to take part in. So thank you for blessing my children here at this church. I actually attended Trinity when I was a student at UF throughout most of the 90s. It was an amazing college career that I had with you, and I was just blessed by this church. There was one specific morning, I remember getting to church late that morning, and it was late. Not only was it the 11 o'clock service, which was late for me, but it was also a little bit into the service, as some of us sometimes do. And again, I didn't consider myself late because Pastor Johnson hadn't started preaching yet. And so for me, I was right on time, but I had to sneak into the balcony of the old 8th Avenue campus church. And as I snuck into the balcony and settled in for the sermon, I just remember this decision that I had made. And the decision that I made during that service was to begin my journey in ministry. I decided that during that service to quit my job waiting tables at a restaurant down on Archer Road and to take a youth director position in Ocala. And that was the beginning of what ended up being, and still is, a long journey of ministry that started right here at Trinity. Heather and I have spent the last 10 years for me and 14 years for her serving at the Warren Willis United Methodist Camp, as it was mentioned earlier. We served as program directors. Heather helped run the summer camp program, and I helped out mostly with the programs that happened the rest of the year, as well as helping out with lifeguarding and some other things like that. Heather and I actually met while we were at that camp. We didn't start dating until later. I throw that in there, but we met and formed a deep friendship at that camp that blossomed into an amazing marriage. We're actually married at the chapel. If you've ever been to the Warren Willis camp, it's the chapel right down there by the lake. We were married at that chapel, had our reception in the fellowship hall there at camp. And we even, when we started working there 10 years ago, we brought both of our daughters home from the hospital after having them. I didn't give birth to them. Heather did that. After Heather gave birth to them, we brought them both home to the house there at camp, which is right inside the camp property. And for the first 10 years of their lives, we raised them at the camp. And then it was about a year and a half ago that we felt this nudge, this call, this conversation in our heads that we wanted to not just be in ministry with college students during the 3 months of summer, but we felt this call that we wanted to devote more time and more of our lives to serving college students during this transformative time in their lives. And so there I was 22 years ago, back in the balcony with my hands over my head, not even listening or even understanding a thing that Pastor Johnson said that Sunday morning. I can't remember anything about that sermon, but what I remembered was being in a place that felt like home in a church and making a formative decision in my life. And while I was doing that, at the same time, being someone who had to pay for their own college, I was seeing the fear that comes from having to let go of a job that actually made me enough money to pay rent, to going to a job to be a youth director in another town, which meant my life was going to be turned upside down, and having to wonder, am I going to be okay? And then 20 years later, there I was again, this time with my wife, Heather, and the two of us looking at this new possibility of moving back to Gainesville and starting and working in ministry together at the Gator Wesley Foundation, serving college students, and leaving behind a job that we felt we were really good at and qualified for, leaving behind a home that we actually helped remodel and develop into a beautiful place, leaving behind a church and a community that we have had deep roots in. And we found ourselves wondering that same question, except this time, instead of am I going to be okay, it was are we going to be okay as we take this new step, this new leap of ministry. And today, Heather and I, we serve students from many different backgrounds at the campus ministry that we serve at. We work with undergraduate and graduate students. We work with doctoral students. We work with engineers to entomology majors. We work with students that are pre-med and students that used to be pre-med. We work with students that are studying to be teachers and lawyers and builders and preachers and people that are devoting their lives to missions, as you saw before. And all of them, at some form or another, or at some time or another, ask that question, am I going to be okay? And then I look across the local church congregation, and I look at parents and grandparents. I look at single people and married people. I look at people who are working and people looking for a job. And I look at around our local churches, and I look at those that are retired and those that just love life. And I think to myself, we all at some point ask this question. Are we going to be okay? And then we turn on the news, or we open our favorite news app on our device, and we ask this question. And when we read about our church, we read about our country, we read about what's going on in the world, or we watch it on the screen, we think about, when we think about our family, when we think about our children, when we think about our grandchildren, we ask this question. Are we going to be okay? A lot of our college students are asking questions like, will I get a job when I graduate? Or if I get that job, am I actually going to be good at that job or qualified for that job? I sometimes ask that question myself on a day-to-day basis. Will the economy hold up? Will I be able to pay my bills today or tomorrow if things take a wrong turn? Will my family be healthy? Will one medical scare or experience wipe out my entire savings? Basically, we're asking that same question. Are we going to be okay? And with that question in mind, I'd like to turn to our text this morning from Romans 8 and have y'all think through that question as I read this passage from Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, and is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For as it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I wanted to put some flesh to the part of that verse and kind of help put it and frame it in terms that I can even understand sometimes. And so I rephrased a little bit of it to read like this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor depression, nor employers, nor politicians, nor this week's challenges or news feeds, nor the things that may happen to us next year or that may happen to a friend or family member, nor medical bills, nor car payments, nor losing a job, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else, because we're all very smart and educated people and can think of a ton of things that can go wrong in our life, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, for me, the love of God today is the same as the love of God yesterday and will be the same as the love of God tomorrow. The love of God when I was in my 20s, sitting on the balcony of the church on 8th Avenue, is the same as the love of God today in my 40s, preaching to that same congregation. And will be the same as the love of God in my 80s, later on in life. Because I truly believe that we are loved. Nothing can separate us from this love. We can't do enough to earn it. We can't achieve enough. We can't worship enough. We can't serve in such a way that we will change the love that God has for us. And at the same time, and this one I take a lot of comfort in, we also can't slack enough. We can't fail enough. We can't struggle enough to separate us from God's love. No loss, no death, no disappointment will take that love away or cause God to have a change of heart. Because this concept of God's love always being with us throughout, no matter what, brings great freedom. And it does that for me within my heart, but it also, at the same time, makes me ask this question, what next? What am I supposed to do with that love? Because this verse still talks about struggles, and it still talks about tough times. It also talks about persecution, or even things that may be painful. Because if I think back to my college career, and I'm sure if I ask any of these guys over here, that the classes that we took in college, they didn't pass themselves. As much as we tried to fall asleep on that textbook and get that information up into our head, it just doesn't work that way. We got to put in the time. Moving my family to a new community after living 10 years in a place was a tough thing to go through. Dealing with family issues during Thanksgiving on Thursday was a tough thing to go through. Sitting through conversation after conversation that was awkward and unpleasant was a tough thing to go through. Or, for some of us, having those tough family issues that we go through day in and day out are tough things to go through. But we are called to love as Christ loved. We are called to love our family, even the tough ones. We are called to love FSU fans. Even the tough ones, one of Scott's Covenant brothers, one of the worst. We are called to persevere when things get tough as we follow our calling to love others. Because for me, this love Paul talks about and speaks about in Romans 8 isn't just a love that sits within us. It's a love that drives a purpose for us. Not just to live within us, but to be used through tough times in our lives. This same love is to compel us towards our calling to share this love in the world through our actions. So as good Wesleyans, we are called to experience this free gift of God's grace and love in our lives. Then, in our pursuit of holiness, live our lives as an outward sign of God's love by sharing, by loving, by serving, by giving, by learning, and by teaching each other about this same love that we've experienced. Because God loves us. I truly believe that. God loves us right here, right now, today, right where we're at. And nothing will ever change that. So, we are called to do something about it. Notice that it's not go do something so that God will love you. It's just the opposite. God loves you. So because of that love, go do something with your life. Our response to this message of God's love is our life. Our friendships, our community, our worship, our service should all be in response to this love. God has a deep love for us. I truly believe that. But God also has a deep calling and a deep purpose for our lives. So we are going to be okay. Ultimately, scriptures tell us that because God loves us, no matter where we're at or what happens to us, we're ultimately going to be okay. But how we experience this love and what we do with it is up to us. So I want to offer a few words of encouragement to all of us, not just the students from Gator Wesley Foundation, but also to all of our congregations. And it begins with getting involved in community. And some may stop there and say, great, I've done that. I've arrived at church, and this is an amazing community, which it is. But get involved in community, because the question I ask for you of this is it going to only involve people who already know Jesus? Or are we putting ourselves in contact with those who need the message of God's love? So get involved within the community so that we as a church community can serve the community by sharing that love with others who don't know that amazing message of God's love in their life. Number two, to worship together in an authentic community. And that is one for all of us. It's the community that you strive to have here. It's the one we strive to develop at Gator Wesley, and that we see in the beauty of us gathering together today. And that is, may our worship be a response to God's love and challenge us to go and do something about it. Number three, love so deeply that it may hurt. Now, this one for me as an introvert is kind of tough because opening up doesn't necessarily come easily for me. But to love so deeply it hurts means that you open yourself up to be vulnerable to others so that you can serve them and care for them and love them from that vulnerability and from that place that you are doing life with them. And then you get involved with people in the nitty-gritty of life. And within that, you truly get to do life together. And then they can truly understand the healing grace that God offers you in your heart. So put yourself out there. Because Christ said that love has no greater example than those who lay down their life for their friends. This next one is to play and laugh with passion. Because if we're supposed to be the evidence that God's love exists in the world, then we should occasionally have a smile on our face, even though sometimes it's tough. And so if you looked around the swamp yesterday, you should be able to point out the Christians in the audience, because regardless of what the scoreboard was, the Christians are the ones that still saw hope in the world, right? The Christians are the ones that weren't angry and throwing bad gestures over the FSU fans, which were sitting to my right. They were the ones that would be willing to say, good game, great job, even if it hurts. Christians are the ones that are supposed to just exude joy from their hearts and their lives by the way that we live being evidence of the love that lives within us. The next one is to serve often and love others. That service and love are at the core of God's purpose and calling for each of our lives. That is how we try and not just instill that message into our students as we go on mission trips, as we seek out and do campaigns on campus to share love and stuff around campus, but it's also the reason why we want to be involved in our community here at Gator Wesley and here in Gainesville. And the last one is probably the toughest of all of them, in my opinion, is to learn all we can, open up to seeing things from different perspectives, because we have a lot to learn from each other. We will never be able to truly love someone until we try and see things from their perspective. And as evidenced on Thanksgiving around the dinner table with my family, especially if we disagree with them. And that's when it gets tough. Sometimes it's a little tough to see things from other people's point of view. But I feel like if we do that, it just opens up a way for us to share that love with them. And last is to be careful of excuses, because these creep into our lives too often. Me being the first to admit, I struggle with things or sayings that start going through my mind, like I'm not smart enough, or I'll never get this, or someone else will do it. That's not my job. I don't have enough time. I'm too busy. That's a good one. It hurts too much. Or that's just too hard. There's no way we could do that. Because whether it's a new job or a hurting person that you know needs help, a calling you are feeling deep inside you, or a relationship that needs to be mended, or a goal or a dream, we shouldn't allow these excuses to creep in and define us or keep us from sharing God's love. Because God loves us to the depths. And God loves us so deeply that it gives us the opportunity to share and to try and to fail and to just do life with one another as we experience this love without exception. I love the way that Lutheran pastor Mary Hinkle Shore speaks of this love. She says, together, the actions of God, past, present, and future, on our behalf, testify to a fierce, compassionate love from which nothing in all creation can separate us. I want to close with this scripture. It's one of my life passages, and it's from 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says this, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. We are made new. For my college students that we work with, this newness is tangible with each and every new semester. Whether it's new opportunities or new habits, there's new classes, new friends, new chance to boost your GPA. And for us, different things help us relate to this newness. It's a new week, a new month. It's a new year coming up soon. Or it's a new season in the church as we're getting ready to start the Advent season. Or it's a new job or a new challenge, new neighbors that just move in, or a new speaker at church that talks about love in a new way. Our job is to look at all creation as new, a new way of thinking about people, about learning, about our purpose. God has entrusted us, the church, with a message of love. How we act, how we love, what we do matters to that mission. So if you're sitting here today and maybe a friend brought you, or you're that new neighbor that got brought in, and you're not a believer, I want you to know this about the church. Our job as a church is to love you and to share this life-giving message of love with you right where you are, no matter what. Nothing can separate us from God's love. You, me, anyone, or anything. So we are all called to try and love people the same way. That's our purpose. So are we going to be okay? My answer to this is yes. But my better answer to this is don't settle for okay. Allow this community to pour the confidence of God's love into your lives and to help you find purpose in who you are becoming and how you are expressing that love in the world. Become the new creation that God has created you to be. Because isn't that our mission in the United Methodist Church? To make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And that begins with acknowledging the love of Christ that lives within you, then allowing that love to move us towards action. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we thank you so much for your love and for the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. God, I pray a prayer of encouragement for each and every one of us, that we may not only experience that love to new depths, but that we may be encouraged to share that love as we leave this place. Father God, put on our hearts that mission, that calling that you call each and every one of us to share your love in whatever setting or whatever context you would have in front of us. Father God, we thank you. We love you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
This table, the
Lord's table is a place of new creation. It is a place where Christ poured himself out for us. We remember at this table that Christ became as vulnerable as someone can possibly become, being hung on a cross, stripped of his clothing, giving up everything in surrender, dying for us, but then rising for us as well, proving God's love for us, so that when our love has failed, God's love never fails us. God continuously pursues us. And the vulnerability that we remember of Jesus Christ is not just a demonstration of God's love, but it is an invitation to come and be vulnerable with God, coming to this table with our doubts and our fears and our questions, our wondering if everything is going to be okay, and then encountering God's real presence so that we leave the table not only knowing that everything is going to be okay, but knowing that in the end, all is well, because all is in Christ, and Christ is making all things new, beginning in us and then through us as we carry God's love out into the world. God's love is amazing, and his grace is sufficient for all of our needs. And Christ invites us week after week to come and experience that love and share it with everyone we encounter. So the Lord took the bread and gave thanks to the Father, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the Lord took the cup, and he gave thanks to the Father, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. God, pour out your Spirit on each of us gathered here and on this bread and on this juice, that it may be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that makes us one with you and one with each other in ministry to all the world. And so you come again in final victory, and we feast together with all the saints around your table. Lord, as we come this morning, may we be reminded that you love us as we are, and you welcome us as we are, and yet you love us enough to transform us by your grace so that we carry your love into the world as you indeed make all things new. Begin this morning, Lord, by renewing us, making us new, and may we carry new creation out into the world in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May those who are going to serve with us go ahead and come forward now. As the servers prepare to enter into each station, you'll find that there'll be a pair in front of where you are sitting. And we invite all to come to the Lord's table. You do not need to be a member here at our church or any church, because this is Christ's table. And he invites all who wish to respond to his grace and the movement of the Spirit in your life to come and experience God's love and to experience God's mercy flowing over you and in you and through you. As you come forward, we'll have you come from the front rows, making your way back in your section, and you'll exit to the left. And as you come forward, we'll tear off a piece of bread and we'll hand it to you. And then you can take that bread and dip it into the cup, and then you may come and kneel and pray, or you can simply return to your seat by the right side. We have gluten-free stations on either side if that is the concern or need that you have. But come, for all is ready, and you are mystery of your table, and for your love and your grace that are unending and unfailing. Having experienced your presence this morning, may we now carry your love into the world so that all may come to know Jesus Christ and the glory of God through Christ and the salvation that is available for us as you make all things.
To have Gator Wesley with us today. We thank you all for being here. Heather and Joel and Catherine and I and Aaron and Lenore, who I know have friendships that go back a long ways. Heather reminded the 8:15 crowd this morning that it was at a much earlier time in both of our lives when I was much younger and working as a youth director, and she was even younger and a 10th grader in my small group 1 week of camp at Warren Willis many years ago. And so great to all be in Janesville together now and in ministry. And we want to encourage you all to pray for this ministry of Gator Wesley, to support them with your prayers and what they are doing. And also this morning we are giving you an opportunity to offer your financial support. Our mission box for today is for Gator Wesley. You may have noticed that in your bulletin, but as you leave this morning, if you'd like to make an offering, you can do that in any of the mission boxes by the exit doors. Or if you didn't come prepared to do that today, but you want to offer something to this ministry, you can go online to the Trinity website, and on our giving page there is a tab for the mission box for Gator Wesley today. So grateful to you, Lord.
And I just want to echo what Steve said, and also tell you that everything I know I learned from Steve in 10th grade in small group at Warren Willis. But we have been so grateful to be a part of this church community from the time we were in college now to having our children here and being able to be a part of this family, so thank you. And I'd like to leave you today with a benediction that comes from Romans 8 that Joel read to us this morning. So hear these words as we leave today. What can separate us from the love of God? Can trouble, can hardships, can poverty, injustice, fear, even death? The answer is nothing, absolutely nothing. because we hold fast to the overwhelming victory that we have in Christ Jesus, who loved us and died for us. So go today, go this week with the hope and joy of knowing that Christ's love goes with you.